This evening's scripture reading will come from Ephesians 4:14 through 15. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of the people and their deceitful scheming ways. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the manner of body of him who is the head, that is Christ.
If you want to just stay there in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and let me get there. And just to start this, Ephesians 4, and let's look over in verse 11 of Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 11, it says, and he gave himself some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for equipping the saints for the work of ministry, for edifying the body of Christ there. You know, what do you think when you hear the word church spoke out? You hear the word church, you know, maybe it's this congregation, or maybe it's a church you grew up with, the group that you grew up with. Maybe you got good feelings, maybe you got bad feelings about this. You know, there's great memories or not so great memories of that. Maybe some of us are going like, I'm not really sure what I think when I hear the word church there on this. We get a lot of different feelings and opinions and thoughts about the word church there. And in the New Testament is where we first hear the word church being mentioned there. And the New Testament uses a lot of different phrases and metaphors to describe what the church is there. And so we can understand what God means when he says the word church here. So in Ephesians 4:12, we see he refers to the church as the body of Christ there. Maybe you're thinking also other examples of that. Kingdom, they refers it to. Or it's the house of God, or family of God, or the flock of God, you know. And so if we want to be a member of God's church, the one that counts, you know, we need to be thinking of those things. We need to know truthfully what the church is. We need to have the right thoughts, you know, because if you have the right thoughts, then you're going to have the right actions to come to guide you in this. So if we think about the church, you know, and how it affects how we act and how we say, we want to do things the correct way, you know, and find out also what do we expect from the church and what the church expects from us there and that stuff. So today I just want to look at, though, some things that are unscriptural about when you hear the word church. And that means they're wrong. It says unscriptural there, it does. And that means they're wrong. They're not what we are as a church there. And we don't want to be a member of that group's that misunderstand what the word church is or be a part of that. And we don't want to get those wrong thoughts out. We want to get the wrong thoughts out so we can have that right thinking and the right actions there. All right, so this is an example here. A lot of people think of the word church as me being the building. Right? That's what a majority of the world thinks. When they think about church, they think of the building. It's got the steeple out front. It's got the sign out front. Maybe it's a cathedral, all that stuff. And they'll say, hey, that's church there. And they take a picture. What is this? That's a picture of a church and stuff. They'll go with that there. And the majority of the people think it's a building used for religious purposes and all that stuff. So, and people go there to do church stuff when they're there at church, you know, when they're at the church and stuff. And even though we know, we've heard the things, that is not what the word church means. It means the called out. It means the people and stuff. But I still get a little tongue-tied when I look at, like, hey, that's a nice-looking church building. And I think about that. I have to stretch that out because I'm always saying it. Because I'm going to say, that's a nice-looking church there or something. I said, okay, it's not that. And, you know, but we kind of look at that. I don't know, our website, what's the picture on our website of? It's that building. And that's most of the bulletins is that. You want to see the picture? There it is. That's the building on that thing. So we just, but we know what we're talking about there. The problem is for a lot of folks, though, and maybe even us, is that we get the idea of it makes the church a place. I'm going to act according to my geography. I'm going to act different here than when I'm not at here. It's like when I'm at work. I act differently at work than when I'm not at work. Or I'm at school. I'm going to act differently when I'm at school than when I'm not at school there. And so this idea here is I'm going to act differently when I'm in this building and then when I'm out of this building here. So when I leave, as soon as I leave here, I'm going to act differently because I'm not at church anymore and stuff. Trouble with this is it's not scriptural at all on this thing. So we go to the book of Ephesians. We go to fifth chapter of Ephesians. One of my favorite verses, especially talk about what the wives are supposed to be doing. Wife's giving me that stare here again. All right, look at verse 19. We look at verse 19 of Ephesians, the fifth chapter. And let's see. It says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to your heart to the Lord. There it says, that's kind of a worshipy kind of verse there. So we're singing psalms and psalms and hymns together. But then Paul doesn't say, okay, once you leave that assembly, you guys are on your own here. You can kind of act any kind of way you want to. No, he says, nothing like do what you please. Now, in verse 22, he talks about what wives are supposed to be doing. Then in verse 25, he starts talking about what husbands are supposed to be doing. We get into chapter 6, verse 1, he starts talking about what children are supposed to be doing. And then what parents are supposed to be doing. Then you get to verses 5 of chapter 6, he talks about what the servants and the slaves are supposed to be doing. And then in verse 9, he says, what's the masters supposed to be doing there? He continues this because the New Testament Christianity continues on in every part of our lives, not just a few hours on Sunday or Wednesday here. It's all the time. I mark it down as like, you're always on duty. You're not like off duty. You know, when we work, you act a certain way when you're at the firehouse, where as soon as you got done, okay, I'm off duties. I don't have to handle stuff like I did when I'm working and stuff on that. So I had a trooper, Bill Watkins, I think was his name, but he said he'd take vacations in the middle of winter. We're going like, where are you going, Bill? You going vacation? You're going to go down to Disney World or something? He said, no, I sit there at the kitchen table and drink coffee. Really? How's that relaxing? Well, I listen to my police scanner, and it's a snowy day, and I listen to you guys going, oh, we got a crash over here, and we need a wrecker, and there's another crash. Oh, there's another one just in. He just kind of sipping coffee. I don't have to handle any of that stuff. No, I have to dodge traffic and stuff. See, I'm off duty. I don't do that stuff. So we think of that as a trooper or as a Christian. So some people got that thing. It's as soon as I'm out of here, I'm off duty. I can do whatever I feel like it. So if you want to look at a thing about a building, let's go over to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter, and we're looking in chapter 2 of 1 Peter, and we're looking at verse 5. And he says, you also, as living stones, are being built up to a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God through Jesus Christ. We come to Jesus as living stones. To build a spiritual house. And what is that spiritual house that the Jews knew? It was the temple. So that it describes the temple. And that temple was the most important building in Israel. Because that's where God's presence was acknowledged at. That's where His glory dwelt there. So being a Christian, though, means we got a living relationship with God. He dwells in us. We dwell in Him. All the time here and stuff, not just once a week. And I've done that. I catch myself saying this kind of thing, all right, kids, in the car, time to go to church. Which I understand what I'm talking about. The kids understand what I'm talking about. Which is a simple way of saying we're going to meet together to worship God. But we got to get this idea that the church is a building out of our heads, a place where we can perform some religious duties. And then leave and then go do whatever we want to. We don't want to go to church. We are the church. So in everything I do and everywhere I go, I'm at church there on this thing. Okay, then next metaphor that we have seen here is people got this idea that the church should be some kind of a theater on these things. You know, when a lot of people think of church, they kind of say, church, that is really boring. That is, I don't know. And in some, and a lot of people think of that, and they say it's just boring and it's dull. And so some groups go to the thing of thinking, like, the idea is like, you know, we got to jazz this up here. We got to liven things up. So they're going to have special effects during services, and they're going to have rock bands going on in the services, and they're going to bring these special guests to appear to talk, football players or whatever, politicians and things, and they're going to have all these stars and stuff talking to everybody. So all we have to do as people in the audience is to sit back and applaud if we feel like doing it, because we're being entertained in it. We're going to have fun at services. The trouble is, you really can't find that in the Bible. It doesn't mention anything about that there. The Holy Spirit never refers to a church as in theater or the Colosseum or the circus. And we need to notice that. You know, and tell you, we're not the first Christian church to be worried about attendance. And what do we do to increase our attendance there? You know, Christianity started in the most pagan places on earth. They're in Corinth, they're in Athens, they're in Rome. What was the competition to people's attention back in those days? I mean, imagine you're trying to talk to somebody back then, and they go, hey, would you like to come to services? I don't know, what do you guys got? I mean, they got those prostitute priests down the street. Have you guys got anything for that? Like, you know, so I'm thinking about this. You know, what do you guys have? And you never see a statement by the apostles saying, you know, I think it's not working. We're going to have to change things up here on stuff to appeal to the masses here and stuff. We got to change this. We've got to try some new things to draw people in. We can kind of see what we're supposed to be doing in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1 and 2. And this is the problem that Timothy had to fight, and Paul's setting him straight on what he's supposed to do. So in chapter 4 and verse 1, he says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, whom will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. And why is that? Because in verse 3, he says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up to themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. So he says, you're facing preachers that people go like, I don't like what you're saying. You guys need to change this up to make me feel better. So let's find a preacher that will preach that kind of stuff. And Paul's saying, like, you got to preach the word, because these people aren't going to endure sound preaching there. We look at this, just, you know, so what we were supposed to get from services is the preaching, is the word. We're supposed to be just getting people the word here and hearing the word. You look in the book of Nehemiah, we don't have to go there, but in Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, they bring all the people into the square to hear the word of God. And Ezra the priest, he's standing up on a podium, a stage, he opens up the book, and all he starts reading is the first 5 books of the Bible. He's just reading that to these people. And what was their reaction? In verse 9, they're weeping, they're crying when they're hearing this word, when they're finding out how far they've shied away from this, or how far they've fallen. And they're telling the people, stop crying. You don't have to be crying. Don't worry about this. Just, we got to obey the word here. And we've seen that they came just to hear the word of God. That's what drove them there. They weren't there to be entertained. They just wanted to know what the law was and how God wanted to live in their lives in there. I think I've used this example before on YouTube. There are some of the most boring videos you can ever imagine talking about how to repair things. They're terribly boring, except when you need to get something fixed, and that guy's talking about what it is, like how to put a headlight in a 2004 Ford Taurus. And I am glued to my seat watching this thing as this guy is telling me how to take this thing, and I'm rewinding stuff and playing it again and writing notes. because it's important to me, because it saved me $100 by being able to change this thing myself there. Probably $5,000, because I was going to just go get a new car rather than change the light bulb. I didn't know how, so that saved me. I'm interested in that. And that's the same way as us as Christians. I want to get to heaven. I am really interested in what this person has to say so that I can get to heaven here and stuff. But, you know, but maybe you guys have noticed the way I preach. We don't want to entertain it, but you might say, hey, Mick, you're kind of an entertaining guy. But there is a difference here. I just kind of want to point out here. You know, you realize that there are different ways people learn. You know, there's a group of people out here. All you got to do is sit them in there and talk to them. And they listen and they get every word that you need, that they need. They hear everything. Others don't do that. Others got to read it while you're talking to them. Others have to be writing stuff down. Karen will do a lot of things of writing the sermon down. She's kind of using her phone today. I don't think if you guys noticed, there's all these little pads that we've... I just got all that junk out of my house and I said, here, let's lay this. But you lay that thing there, and if you're one of those kind of people, you can pick out that paper and just write down the verses or write down the sermon as the person's talking. And for that, goes from the hand to the brain. Karen writes a lot of this stuff down, never reads it again after she got it done right. But it got to her brain. That's how she got it into there. So those kind of stuff. Some people have to be moving around to hear that. I don't know if you guys ever noticed my leg might be bouncing, or you ever see somebody, their legs are jittery. They're not nervous, but believe it or not, they're resetting their brain so they can learn stuff, and that's what they've got to do to move it. That's like a lot of the learning disability. So you've got that different ways of teaching people. So we look at this thing. Others have to engage. So we get in a Bible study, I'll talk and I want you guys to talk. And some people, that's how they learn. They talk back and we converse. And all of a sudden we get the information in. And that's why we have to be aware of how we teach. But we don't teach for entertainment. You ever see a lot of those commercials during the Super Bowl? I'd always talk about, hey, the Super Bowl commercials, and everybody's watching. And they're just laughing, and they're laughing because they're really funny commercials. But then if you ask them, hey, what was the product that they were selling? People go, I don't know. It was a real funny commercial, but I don't know what they were talking about, what they were trying to sell and stuff on that. And that's so that they'd be careful of. Same thing as in these kind of groups that do this. Hey, the bands really sounded great. The preacher was really funny, but I don't really know anything about the Bible. I don't know what he was trying to talk about, but he was really funny and stuff on that. You know, I don't know anything about the books or anything. And that's where we've got, like with Anthony's sermon verses that he read. We just get carried away there in Ephesians 4:14. We're just carried away with every wind of doctrine. We're carried away because the guy sounded funny, or he said the right words that I wanted to hear and stuff. And that's and especially this thing that what they're telling me, I'm okay. And that is 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. They're just giving them what they want to hear and not what they need there. All right? Okay, so we gotta be thinking about how people learn and how we teach. So we're engaging with them, and we gotta have enthusiasm and with some emotion there. And this is how our Lord taught. When Jesus was teaching the apostles, he'd give them the word, then he'd give them a parable, maybe the word again, maybe an illustration. Always appealing to the ways people learn there, not for entertainment there on that. And the big thing is, though, we have to always consider this thing when we're coming to services and that, is what is worship for? Is it for me? Is it for me to be entertained? Or is it for God? You know, worship is not about being entertained. You know, it's not about, hey, what can I get out of this thing? Well, certainly you don't get much out of it if you don't put anything into it. If you just sit there and got really bad singing, that's the most effort that I'm going to put into it. I'm going to say, yeah, the singing was pretty poor or something, because I'm not doing any singing now. But we have a holy, all-powerful God who loves us. Not just that he's mindful of us, he loves us. And that's something. He gave his son for us because in spite of all the sins that we commit, he still wants us. And that's something. So how should our worship be there? You know, so, But it's we just don't want to go through the motions here, and that's bad also. We don't want to have a dead kind of service and just get in and get out and go get on with our lives there. Okay, real quick, wrong way also to think about a church is we accept everybody. We accept everyone. We accept everyone. It doesn't matter what you're doing. If you're committing all kinds of sins, we don't care. Come to services. Keep committing those sins. We're fine with that. We just want you sitting in here, and that's good enough. I said, no, that's wrong. And they do this because they want to be inclusive and they want to be tolerant. Now, it's true, Jesus ate with sinners, but the message is always, go and sin no more. That's John 8 and verse 11. But I would say inclusive, we want to be inclusive. And I put this down there, are we inclusive? Are you prepared for what's going to come through that door? Because we're reaching out to the community and we want these people coming to our facilities. We want them coming in here for services and stuff. You know, and you got people out in the world that have let the world guide them, and that world has rewarded them by beating them down. And so finally, one day they go like, this is not working. And it is like that Johnny Cash song, Sunday Morning Coming Down, where the guy says, I put on my cleanest dirty shirt and I went to services and stuff. And they said, are we prepared for what comes through that door? How these people look, what they're saying, what they know, will we be welcoming to them? Or are we going to have that stranger danger feeling over us and stuff on that? And I have personally seen this, and this has been really sad. But a visitor comes in, now I'm not talking here, but I said a visitor comes in and nobody goes to talk to the guy. Nobody talks, says a word to the person, because that's the job of the preacher to go talk to him or the elders to go talk to him. It's not my job. I'm not going to go talk to him there. And I have actually seen this verse or this thing happen. Somebody, they come in and they sit down in a pew, and a member has come up to him and said, excuse me, this is my family's pew. We sit here. And that person gets up and goes, and I thought, no, we don't do that. We get up ourselves and say, where do you want to sit? Here, let's get rid of Anthony and Andrew. You can sit in their spot. They can stand up. They're little kids. They can handle it. You know, so we do that stuff. We turn that out there. But we've had that there, that we don't, we put that thing, that we've got our little areas that we camp out in. See, I can always tell where the Hodgins sit there. They got all kinds of junk there. And I go like, they have staked out a claim to that here. That thing is there. But other folks are like, wait, it's not your pew. It's not guarded here, getting territorial and stuff on it. But that has actually happened. And so how's that person feel? Boy, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I interfered with you guys coming in here. And then they don't show up ever again. Now here's a big one here. John 13, verse 34 and 35. He says in 34, he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So you have people come through this door, hardly have any knowledge on biblical things, and they can walk in and look at our congregation and go, I don't think this is the church. These people don't like each other. They don't visit and they don't talk to me. This is probably not the church. And they leave, or they come to the services and they never come back. And we're going like, well, they don't come back because we don't have a band. I said, that has nothing to do with the band. Or they don't come here because they don't agree with our position on baptism being necessary for salvation. It has nothing to do with that. It's how we treated those people when they've come in, and how we treat each other and stuff. So we want to see this thing. We've got to be that inclusive, ready to step out of our comfort zones and talk to people that are from the world, trying to find their way to God there. And so we got to be that helpful to them there. All right. So conclusion: we got to be careful about what we think about what the church should be. And that's these people that think it's supposed to be entertaining and it's supposed to make me feel good. It feels good if you do what you're supposed to be doing. Coming here for services and singing praises and hearing the word, that I can get strength in it. You know, maybe even someplace they think that has a lot of services for me. Do you guys have daycare? I don't know if this is the church or not. You got to have daycare or the big pantries, or you got to have some youth sports and stuff, something for me to do, something to entertain us. That is not what we're looking at. Rather, we should be thinking, what do I need to be doing? I need to be gaining Bible knowledge, so I want to listen to what the lessons are. I want to be gaining in spirit and love, you know, praying for people, helping out this, you know, thinking about, and also thinking about how I'm doing. That's one of the things we do when we take the Lord's Supper, we should be doing. We remember Jesus' death, but we should also be thinking, okay, how are we doing, Mick? How are we using Jesus' sacrifice? I just pitched it to Nosai. I just come here once a week and remember it, then I forget about it. No, I'm going like, am I living a life worthy of his sacrifice in that, you know? And how can I get stronger? And how can I serve the Lord? If we can do all those kind of things, then we are going to be, if we're looking at how we can serve God and how we can listen to his word and obey it, then we're going to be that New Testament church that we're talking about here on this. So thank you guys for your all of your attention on this. We offer up now a time for anybody that's in need of the prayers, needs to make things right with the Lord, needs some strength, then this is a good place to be at for how we can help you. We ask you to come forward, let us know how we can assist you while we'll stand and sing the song of invitation.